Good morning, Crossroads. Oh, that was bad. Good morning, Crossroads. Oh, it's got to be more exciting. We have sunshine for the first time in 723 days today. So it's good to be there. You should be excited. We've got the goodness of God in this place. We have the goodness of God in our lives. And it's good to be here. And it's good to be worshiping together. Thank you. We have a good God. We have a great God. We have a God that loves us. And we have a God that's working in us. I want to ask you a question this morning. In this past year, if you've had God answer any of your prayers, would you say amen? In this past year, if you've had God do a miracle, what you know only God could do, would you say amen? Woo! That was pretty good. I like that out of the miracle thing. If you've had God and seen God work and have a family member or a friend get saved in this past year, would you say amen? Awesome. We have a God who's doing great things. We have a God who's doing awesome things. And yet we live in a time and a place and a situation where sometimes it gets kind of overwhelming for us after 723 days of rain. And I'm just so glad I don't have to make a decision in 8 days south of the border right now. That would be overwhelming as well, let me tell you. Those kind of things are going on all around us. We have situations that we face, and there is, in each one of our lives, we've got challenges. In each one of our lives, we have things that we've been praying for a very long time. And this morning, I want to talk about the restoring of hope. Restoring of hope into our lives, the restoring of hope into our hearts, the restoring of hope deep within us. And if you're looking at the sermon title and the scripture that's on your bulletin, you can take that up and do this and just put it over there, because partway through the week after I gave that title to Kelly, I struggled with it and I fought with it. And God, it was one of those things where you know all of a sudden that you were trying to do this on your own and God says, No, you got to do something different. So it's different from what we had there. So tonight, this morning, we're going to talk about restoring hope. And we're going to talk about a fellow by the name of Bartimaeus and see how God worked in his life to restore hope and getting your hope back. So let's turn to if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Mark. And we're going to start reading in chapter 10, verse 46. You there? Two of you, good. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the man. They called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your word speaks truth to us, and from it we can learn and we can be encouraged and we can be challenged. We thank you, Lord, that you have got truth for us there this morning that will touch our lives and will help us. I pray for your blessing on us now to give us a heart and ears and mind that are open to your word and to your power and your truth. We sang about you being a powerful God this morning. Your word declares that you are a powerful God. Father, we ask that we receive that understanding deep within us. And it's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge, that we know that our God is powerful and he loves us and he's with us. Speak that truth to us today. Encourage us and love us in it, we pray. And we thank you for it, Father, in your name. Amen. 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 This morning, as I said, we're going to talk about getting our hope back. Here's poor old Bartimaeus. We can go next here. Here's poor old Bartimaeus. And at this point in time, he seems kind of hopeless. He's just having not a whole lot of good things are happening in his life. For most of us, we have good things happening more often than bad in most cases. But Bartimaeus had bad things happening more than good. He was a guy who was blind, and we don't know how long he'd been blind. Some suspect all of his life. Some say that it may have come, think that may have come a little bit later on. But here's Bartimaeus, who was blind. And he had not much going for him. Imagine if your only hope of getting any kind of support or income in your life was to go and sit by the road and ask people for it. You had no other choices. You had no other options. You had no other way of being of good things or supply coming into your life. You had nothing to do. And this was Bartimaeus. So every day he would get up and he would go to his place outside the city, at the gate of the city, and he would sit down and he would sit there and raise his hands as people were leaving through the gate and walking by, and he would ask for them to give to him. Now you need to understand that he doesn't have sole proprietorship of that gate as far as the beggars go. There are going to be a lot of beggars at that gate. So it's not only just him that the people would have to, he'd try to get, not him trying to call up the people to give him something. It's every other beggar that's also there at the gate, because that's where they went. That's how they got their supply. That's how they got their income. So here's Bartimaeus sitting there, and he's vying with all these other guys saying, please, can you give me some income? Can you give me something? I'm blind. Can you help me with something? Can you help me with something along the way here? I need something. And there are times in our lives when we get to that point where it's not that we're needing necessarily the financial, although it can be that. But we're at a place where we have been going to the same place, doing the same thing, day after day after day, calling out to what we thought was our need for help, and we're not getting any answers, or we're getting very little. And we get just enough in our hearts, just enough in our spirit, just enough in our gumption to get through the day. And then tomorrow, you got to go through it again. You know those times when you climb to bed at night and says, oh, Lord, I got through another one. Thank you. Anybody relate to that one? Okay, that's not just me. That's good. Oh, Lord, I got through another one. Thank you. Wake up in the morning. There's some people that wake up in the morning and go, oh, good morning, Lord. There's others that wake up and go, oh, good Lord, it's morning. Because you have to go through another day. You have to go through a whole other cycle of experiencing things that you hope will get you through it. You don't know if it will, but you hope it will get you through it. And there's not a whole lot of hope that you can find in the midst of that. There's not a whole lot of strength that you can find in the midst of that. You are just trying to get through. And in that situation, it seems so often that things are so terribly, terribly hopeless. I want to speak to you this morning. If anybody here, if you've been praying for something and seeking God in something for a long time, you keep going back and going back and going back and going back, and you keep hearing nothing, 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 nothing. I want to speak to you when that sense of hopelessness comes up inside of you. Because if you're doing that and you've been through that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It comes up and you start to say, why am I even bother praying? Why do I even bother going to God about this? And you come to church and the crazy guy stands up and says, well, praise God, hallelujah, we're going to worship, he's a good God. And everybody goes, amen, yeah, and you're going, yeah, okay, I guess that's good. But inside of you, there's part of you that's going, he hasn't done it for me yet. And I'm tearing apart inside, and I've been praying for this for a long time, and I'm not seeing God move and God do what I've been asking him to do. I'm not seeing the answers that I'm praying for, the answers that I'm hoping for, and I'm feeling in that particular area of my life, at least, I'm feeling hopeless and helpless in that area of my life, and I don't know what to do. That's Bartimaeus, only it was his whole life. For most of us, it's part Hopefully it's not all of our lives. But I want to tell you that in that place, God has not ignored you and God has not left you. I want you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God hears you and he's aware of what's going on. He sees you, he knows it, and he loves you. We'll talk about some of the rest in a minute, but that's where you need to start in your understanding. God is not deaf to your cry. God is not turned away from your heart that's crying out to him. He is hearing what you have to say. Bartimaeus goes out one day, like any other day. And he goes out to the street and goes out to the road, and every day he'd been doing the same thing, 7 days a week, for the last however many years of his life. He gets up, he eats what he can, he stumbles his way, maybe with help of somebody else, maybe not, to his place beside the city gate, where he starts to cry out to God and cry out to people. Can you help me? 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 Alms to the blind. Alms to the blind. Can you help a blind man? Can you give to a blind man? Can you help me? Only this day, something different happened. He's sitting there beside the road, and all of a sudden he hears some more noises. He hears a large crowd, and this crowd's coming down the street, and it piques his interest. He goes, hey, what's going on here? What's going on? What's with all the people? What's with all the noise? What's with all the talking? Because this crowd was excited about something. This crowd was excited about hearing something, about something that was going on. This crowd was like, whoa, something good's going on. And he's going, what is it? What's happening? What's happening? Jesus is coming. Like that. He changed from being hopeless to having hope. Come to the next one. He changed from being hopeless to having hope. And he all of a sudden got to the place where he says, Jesus? Is that the Jesus that I've heard about? Is that the Jesus who healed the lame and caused them to walk again? Is that the Jesus who made the blind to see? Is that the Jesus? Yes, that's the Jesus. And he's coming by here? Yes, he's coming by here. All of a sudden, there was something that rose up inside of Bartimaeus. And it was just like, oh, something, okay, now there can be a change. This is a different day. This is a different day. This is a different situation. And something new is going to happen in this situation. I heard a story a number of years ago that I really like. It's a story of a man who walked into an art show and he saw a painting. That painting was of a cabin in the back hills. And the cabin had burned down. All that was left standing was the chimney. And standing outside the cabin was an old grandfather type man, basically in his long johns, is all he had on. Beside him, a young boy clinging to a pair of coveralls. And the boy was obviously crying. Everything this family had obviously just been destroyed and gone. The building, the home, and everything in it was gone. And the old man was standing there beside the boy. The caption below the painting, or the title of the painting, was, "Hush, child. God is not dead." Hush, child. God is not dead. In other words, whenever God is alive and wherever God is alive, there is hope. There is hope. Whenever we know that God is alive, there is hope. And whenever we get to the place where we're feeling that the worst is happening or happening to us, there is hope. There is hope for us in it all. There is hope. And there is hope for us this morning. I got to tell you, there's hope for you this morning because Jesus is alive. He is the powerful God that we sang about. He is the powerful God who's here in presence by his Spirit this morning in this place. And he's here to meet with you this morning. And Jesus is alive today to meet you where in your need and in your hopelessness. Because he's here to give, pardon me, to give you hope. He's here to give you hope. Here's Bartimaeus. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Oh, how we hate to wait. For those of you that have been waiting, that's the hard part. Because that's the time and the place where you get those needly little thoughts and things coming into your head and your mind. The enemy likes to plant those things into you, saying, God doesn't love you. God's ignoring you. God's not hearing you. And those are lies. The key here for us is that we must be able to wait patiently and faithfully, because when Jesus decides to walk by, we got to take action. We got to get ready to receive what he has for us. Here's Bartimaeus. All of a sudden, he hears Jesus is going, coming by, and he starts to cry out and call out, Jesus! Jesus! And the people that were with Jesus, and if you look over in the book of Luke, they talk about it, and it was his disciples went to Bartimaeus, and they said, hush up, don't bother him, you be quiet. Just leave him alone. Will you be quiet? Just shut up. And so he goes back, and Bartimaeus says, you're not going to stop me. What I need is over there. What I need in my life is Jesus. I need his power. I need him. He's the man who gave sight to the blind. You can't give me sight to the blind. These other people aren't going to give me sight to my blindness. Only Jesus is going to give me sight to my blindness. And I'm not going to let him go by without me getting in touch with him. So I'm going to shout again and shout as much as I need to do to get his attention. So he goes, Jesus! Oh, Jesus, over here! And Jesus stopped. Did Jesus not hear him the first time? Of course he did. Did Jesus not know his need? Of course he knew his need. Jesus didn't stop and respond to any of the other beggars there who had needs, whether they be crippled or blind or poor. He didn't respond to them, but he responded to Bartimaeus. Why? Because Bartimaeus was not going to let him go. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, I need you. I need you now. I need you. And his expectation was high enough to know that his need was going to be met beyond the alms that he was seeking to receive. The scripture tells us that God wants to bless us, and he will work in our lives, and he will provide for us exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we can ask or think. Well, I can't even begin to understand that. Some of the times I wish he would just give me what I ask or think. That would be great. That would be enough in a lot of cases. But the scripture tells us he would give us above and beyond what we ask or think. Bartimaeus had this inside of him now. He had this determination. He had this desperation inside of him that he had to get a hold of Jesus. Jesus was the one. Jesus was the one who's going to be able to help me. And he's not going to give to me what I need into my hand in terms of money. He's going to be able to give me back my sight so that I can see and give me everything that I need. And Jesus understood that in this man there was that sense of desperation that was now upon him. And sometimes God lets us get desperate. He lets us get to that place where we know beyond the shadow of a doubt there is no way that I can solve this problem. There's no way that I can solve it on my own. There's no way that my friend can solve this problem for me. There's no way that this problem can be solved other than by Jesus. And we get to the place where we know that we can't do any more ourselves. Sometimes when we pray, and this is really the hard part, we pray, and not only are we telling God what to do, but we're already working out plan B in our minds. And our plan B is often plan A, and our prayer is sort of maybe plan B. We say, okay, if this doesn't work out the way I'm asking God to do it, then I know I can work it out this way. And I'll solve the problem this way. And if God doesn't come through in working this out, then I'll go around and I'll do this. And we've worked out all those things in our mind. So as we're praying, we're also thinking about all those other things. You look at me like you don't do that. Am I the only one that does that? We're working out those other things that we believe that, you know, if that God doesn't do it, then I'll do it this way. And God says, sometimes he just lets us get to the point where there are no plan Bs. There's only him, plan A. There's no plan B, there's no plan C, there's no plan D, there's no plan E. All those don't work. All those have failed. All those will not come to pass. All those cannot be. There is only one thing left, and that is Jesus. And when we get to that point, when the answer comes into our lives, there is no way in the world that we can say, "Whoa, I was so lucky. Oh, that was such a good thing that happened. Well, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. I have no idea how this took place, but you know this person did this and that person did that, and all of a sudden this happened, and my problem was solved." It is amazing how many times we get to the place where God does miracles in our lives. And I was so excited to hear this morning when I asked how many have seen a miracle. There were so many people who said amen. They've had a miracle in their lives in this last year. What God has done before, he will do again. Miracles are coming into our lives. This is going to be a place of God's miracles. I believe it with all my heart that in this place, miracles will take place. You got to talk to me more than that this morning. In this place, miracles are going to take place. Thank you. Because it's not only me. God hears that too. Right? Jesus! We're desperate. We're desperate. We cannot find another way. We cannot find another answer. We cannot do it ourselves. We need Jesus. And Bartimaeus was there. Jesus, I need you, and I need you right now. And Jesus stopped and turned around and looked back at him, and he walked over and stood there, and they brought Bartimaeus up to him. And Jesus said, "What do you want?" What do you mean, what do you want? See, that's really an important question, though. It seems obvious to us, but it's a very important question. Because sometimes when Jesus comes and he's in a place where he wants to meet with us, we're not sure what we want. We just want to be happy. We just want things to go better. We just want to feel better. We want generalities. And Jesus came and said, "Do you know what you really want in your life? What is it you want right now?" Now, there was another place where Bartimaeus could have said, I would like to have 50 gold shekels in my hand right now. He could have said that. But it was important, and Jesus knew it was important, for Bartimaeus to say, "I want to see. I want to see." Jesus knew he was going to ask the question, but he wanted the people around him to hear what Bartimaeus was going to say. So that when Jesus acted towards Bartimaeus, Jesus was responding to the need spoken by Bartimaeus in faith and hope as he had come to Christ. So when Bartimaeus spoke and said, "I want to see," Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go and be well. Go and be healed." And Bartimaeus saw. When you are praying and you're seeking God in areas of your life where you're struggling, can I encourage you to be very specific about what you're praying for? Can I encourage you to be very specific? Again, so that when God does it, you know it's him who's done it. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to know that he has done this so that you can say, "God did this. Hallelujah. God loves me that much that he did this and he did what we needed. Be specific. Let him do what he's going to do, because sometimes he'll do it in the way that you don't ask for. But ask him specifically, what is the need? Don't tell him how to do it. Tell him what the need is. Lord, I need my bills paid, so I bought this lottery ticket. And I ask for the anointing upon this lottery ticket. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sorry. But how many of you have done it? Come on, be honest. Okay, I know you don't have to raise your hand. Don't tell them how, but tell them what. Tell them what. Jesus healed people in a number of different ways throughout the Bible. He healed people of blindness in different ways. At one point in time, he spat on the ground, made some mud, a bit more in there, you know. And then he put it on the guy's eyes. That nice gooey mud on the guy's eyes. And he's going, what are you doing? I heard you spit. What are you doing? Don't worry about it. He healed a man that way once. Bartimaeus' case, he said, you're healed. Done. God works in different ways at different times. He's not going to do the same thing the same way every time. So don't tell God how to do it. Just ask him to do it. And Bartimaeus got to the place where he was healed. Hope remains in Bartimaeus when he heard Jesus coming. And then hope was fulfilled. Next one, please. If it's there. It's rewarded. It is a rewarded hope. It's a rewarded hope. Jesus comes along and he works in our lives and he starts to speak to you and to me and he says, I've got a way to work in your life. I want to work with you. But you've got to trust me in that process. And so if you keep calling out to me and you keep your hope up and you keep your hope going and you keep a hope working and you keep your hope in place, in the middle of all of that, I will start to work and I will do something that will astound you, because you know that I am the God who does astounding things. Sometimes in the simplest of ways. But that's what God starts to do. He starts to work. He starts to take it through. He starts to pull us through all the things that he has for us and bring to us the goodness of God in our lives. Why does he heal us? Oh, he loves us. He loves you. That's a big reason why, but it's not the only reason why. Why does he heal us? Why does he do anything in our lives? Nothing God does for us is just for us. It's not for us. Just for us. Nothing. Yes, it is for us, but not just for us. It's so that we can declare the goodness of God to other people and cause them to know that this is the God of healing and strength and power. That this is the God who loves me this much, that he did this for me. This is the God who has done this for me. Those of you that declared this morning that you'd seen a miracle happen in your life, I hope you're telling people about what Jesus did for you. What you saw Jesus do and what the power of God was in that, because it wasn't just for you. It was for someone else out there, and God already knows who it is that you're going to come across that needs to hear that word from you. That, you know what, I was dealing with this in my life and there was nothing that anybody said could be done about it, and it was just nothing going on. But you know what, I turned to Jesus and I called out to him and I said, Jesus! And he heard my cry, and when he heard my cry, he came and he did a miracle in my life, and this is what he's done. And you may not believe what I believe about God right now, but let me tell you, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this was done because of my faith in Jesus. Your miracles are for that reason as well. Your answers to prayer are for that reason as well. So that you can declare to others who God is and what God is. And what did Bartimaeus do after he got healed? It says he followed Jesus. Jesus said to him, "You're healed. You can go now." And he said, "No way, man. Uh-uh. You got something I need. I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you." I would have too. Let me tell you, I would have too. I'd have been like, "Oh, man, you can call me a disciple groupie if you want, but I'm there. I'm going to go with him, and I'm going to stick with him, and I'm going to stay with him." Because you know what? Here's what I know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And there is no way anybody else could do that for me but by the power of God. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he did this for me. What has Jesus done for you? I asked you to think about all those things that you're feeling hopeless in and that you're struggling in and through, those things that you're battle with and you're not seeing answers in, and you're getting this kind of thing going on, and you're up against the wall with it. But let me ask you this question. What has Jesus done for you? What has he done for you? Have you moved into the place where you're starting to praise him and thank him and continue to thank him for that? Very often, God brings the miracle when we take the action. Often, what we want to do, we want God to bring the answer first, and then we'll take the action. He brings the miracle when we take the action first. Bartimaeus. Jesus knew at the beginning of the day he was going to heal that man. Because he was God. He knew that. But he asked Bartimaeus to get up, to come to him, and he asked him, "What do you want?" If Bartimaeus at any point along that line had said, "I'm not going to get too close," or "You know what I want," or "I'm not sure what I want," Jesus would not have given him what he needed. But he took those steps of faith and hope. "Jesus, bring him to me." "Oh, yes. What do you want?" "I want to see." "You have your sight." God, again and again and again throughout Scripture, responds to when we take the step. When we take the step. When we take the step. We take a step of faith, of believing, of action, of praise, of worship. And in the midst of those things that we take a step, when we don't feel like it, Jesus begins to work and to touch us and to bless us and to come into our lives with strength and power. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Do you want to overflow with hope? Do you want that in your life? Are you tired of it just being, "Oh Lord, it's morning"? Do you want that hope and that strength that comes from Christ? All I can say to you is this. Hush, child. God ain't dead. He's alive for you right now. And so this morning, as we come to the close of this service, I'm going to ask of Lori if you can come back out, please. As we come to the close of this service, I want to give you a chance to respond to what God has for you. I'm going to ask if you'll stand, please. We're going to pray together. And this morning, if you are here and you can say, "There's an area of my life that I have lost hope in. And I was feeling upset. I was feeling badly. I was feeling disappointed in that area. I'm ready or have been ready to give up in seeing God do something. but I want my hope restored. If that's you this morning, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes, bow your heads. If that's you this morning, you want your hope restored, please just lift your hand to the Lord. I need my hope restored. I need my hope restored. Lift it up. Lift it up high to Him this morning. Father, you see us today in this place. We are people who are filled with your power and your might. But Lord, we have lost hope because we've lost sight of who you are in some ways. Right now, Lord Jesus, as we lift our hands to you throughout this congregation this morning, there are people here that declare that we need our hope restored now in Jesus' name. And so we call out to you, Jesus! We need you. We need you. We need you. Restore our hope. Restore our faith. Help us to see your plan. Help us to see you working. Help us to see your goodness. Help us to see your victory. Help us to see all that you are doing and you want in our lives. In the name of Jesus, let us see this now. And let us see the miracles that we're praying for. In Jesus' name. In the needs that there are here, we know that God is working right now. And I can tell you with all confidence in who our God is and what the Scripture declares, that God is working and has been working behind the scenes to find the answers for you in what you need. He's doing that right now. Don't lose hope. Don't set aside the things that you've hoped for. Don't let despair overwhelm you. Know that God has got His strength and power and answers for you. And hang on. Hush, child. God ain't dead. He is alive for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us in this place today. We thank you for your word, which is true and strong and powerful. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you never abandon us. I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that you are always working for on our behalf. Things are falling into place behind the scenes. And that, Lord, we will soon see the answers for what we are hoping for what we are praying for what we need. I pray, Father, you give to us a stirring in our spirits, a stirring in our guts that will say, I need to dig in and hold on more. I need to cry out to you more. I need to not let go of my hope and know that you are God and that you are working in the midst of this. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us, for blessing us, and for helping us. And may your peace and your strength, your wisdom and power go with us as we leave this place today. Let your hand be upon us. May our homes be a place of blessing and strength. May we be a blessing in our workplaces and with our friends and our family. Let your light shine through us, we pray, each one. We ask, Father, in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have some prayer teams at the front here. If you'd like to pray about anything in particular, we'll also have communion. We'll be served here this morning for those of you that like to take communion. Can I give you just one more word of encouragement? You raised your hand and said, I need my hope reborn this morning. I encourage you to come and take communion today. I encourage you to come and do that. Just say, Lord, I'm going to take this bread that represents your body and your promise to me and your blood that was shed so that I can have this hope and victory in my life. And that you take that bread and you take that cup today and you thank him for the hope that he is restoring and refreshing and renewing in you this morning. I encourage you to do that today. Let the Lord bless you. Let the Lord keep you.
Let the Lord give you strength in it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.